I just want to talk for a few minutes, a little bit about our year, past year in the NFB in Alaska, actually kind of like the 2 years too. So in 2019, we had a convention. We had several of some of the, we had some of the same speakers that we had yesterday and we'll have today, but we didn't have very many people on Zoom. We had live speakers. We usually have had the library call in, and that has been almost the extent of faraway speakers that we've had. Times have changed. During the pandemic, we had a convention in 2020. We had a lot of people from out of state sign up because we published it on the NFB websites, email lists. And so people joined us, and that was good, but it was not the same. And we did it again in 2021. So this is the first year. And, you know, if you have to look at a bright spot with any horrible situation, such as a pandemic, knowing that we can now have people join us from afar, we can have people even in Alaska join us from afar. It is not the same. Being able to come here and sit around and talk to people and ask people questions and observe how blind people do things when you're losing your eyesight and it's so scary is so valuable. And so I am grateful that we have this current event where we have people from afar who can participate. And we had several people who planned on coming and paid their and did register. Some people actually registered and knew they wouldn't be here. But I hope some of those people have been able to join on Zoom. And I want to say thank you for everyone who is here and registered and helped us recoup our costs. But especially, I want to say also thank you to those who are not here and who gladly, or maybe not so gladly, but did it because they realized the importance, paid that $55 to be with us. As you remember, Carmen's report yesterday said that what we have in our budget is in no way gonna cover this. Well, the budget will ultimately, but it will leave us with very, very little. I think it will all pan out. But that, what does that mean? That means even in Alaska, if we want to be able to have a convention every year, we have got to do some serious fundraising. So what we've done in the past, we did this in 2019 and early 2020, and that's what gave us some money to be able to withstand the pandemic and be able to have two conventions. Of course, they were very inexpensive because I think we just asked for donations if people wanted to donate. But in 2020, we had something we called a chilly night in February. Yeah. Who was at that? Say aye. And at that, we had you. Oh, well, Kelsey, congratulations. Late. What's that? Susan did. Our Anchorage chapter president, who has passed away, came up with the title, A Chili Night in February. And it worked so cool because we had a chili making contest. And then we also had a dinner provided to us of chili for us that people paid for, provided by a local congregation, a local Lutheran church. I don't know if we can do that again. I've kind of lost touch with that gentleman. So Kevin, if you want to, okay. I mean, if we aren't able to do it there, then we do need to find a new venue, which it was so much fun because we had beans in a jar that people had to guess how many beans were in the jar. And they had to pay a little bit to do that. And so we had a pretty good fundraiser, and we need to do that again. So there are other options. If you are interested in helping with fundraising, let us know. There, See's Candy has a fundraiser. We tried to do popcorn, but first off, they wouldn't ship to Alaska. And then when I asked them again, they said it was going to be too expensive for people to order. And those fundraisers are ones where, well, See's Candy for sure is a fundraiser where people can go online, they order, and we don't have to buy any product. And then, people get their goods. They get their See's Candy. Oh, yes, they ship. So the question was asked, does See's Candy ship to Alaska? And the answer is yes. So
that's always a problem with us in Alaska.
Well, they think it's a foreign country. I mean, come on. We all know what that's like. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if Hawaii, I think Hawaii has similar problems, but nonetheless, so we just have to find someone else to do business with. They obviously don't want our business very badly. So anyway, we are always interested in fundraising ideas. So so you're always welcome to call President Whitley after today. Yeah. Okay. And let's get some fundraising going, because one of the things, I'm getting a political text message, but I'm goodbye. So the one thing that we, I lost my train of thought. Fundraising. Yes, we are talking about fundraising. So the one thing that I have to think about, as I've been president of the Anchorage chapter for many years, and as I have been the affiliate president, is what do we need money for? Well, in Alaska, just to get people to state conventions and make sure that their hotel room gets paid for. You know, we're talking about people who may not be working, who are on very limited incomes. We need to make money to help people get here. We have that education fund, but it will not last forever. It doesn't have that much in it. We are going to use a little bit this time, but we want to be able to help more people. Maybe wouldn't it be cool if we had a person or two come from the Aleutian Islands, right? Those tickets are upwards of 600 to 1,000. Now, we probably couldn't pay for that whole ticket, but maybe we could pay for their hotel room and for part of the ticket. And then, you know, they might have, then if they happen to be a Voc Rehab client, really working with Voc Rehab to get them to pay for more people to come. We had a gentleman who wanted to come, and they would not pay for him to come 2 days early. He's coming back to the Alaska Center for the Blind, and they wouldn't pay for him to come back early. So we need to start working more with Voc Rehab and DVR, as we call it here, and making sure that they get it, that they understand that when people come to the National Federation of the Blind State Convention and National Convention, of course, but starting with the State Convention, it changes their lives. It empowers them. So I like to tell people that the center teaches you skills, but how many people have been to the center and had almost no clients there, or maybe only two others at the same time they're there? Say I. Yes, yes. So if you're a VR client and you go to the center, there might be one or two people, and maybe you see them at lunchtime, and if they go home at the end of the day and you are a residential client because you live out of town, you might be there by yourself, yeah, except with the residential monitor, who you can't hang out with that person all the time, and that person may be blind, but nonetheless, you still need to be with other people. And that's why I love convention, because it's so cool to see people hanging out, chatting, you know, saying things to each other, making plans, exchanging phone numbers. And the two other places, well, when I lived in Georgia, and I went to their center for some brief training, or actually getting information and stuff. I actually worked there for a month. What I saw was they had a break room for the clients. And because it was a larger area, it was a metropolitan area, at any one time, there was like 15 people in a room, 10 people in a room chatting, getting their lunch, saying, oh, I learned this today, and all those kinds of things. We don't have that opportunity here. But what we do have is a state convention, and we have chapter meetings. Right now, the Anchorage chapter has turned into an all-state chapter meeting. And so we meet on the second Saturday at 1 p.m. We meet for about an hour, but we're happy to hang out longer. We meet at the Alaska Center for the Blind in our upstairs lounge area. But then we also have Zoom. We try to have Zoom. And it gets a little more chaotic, because the thing about chapter meetings is they can tend to be a little chaotic with people just chatting and talking to each other. That makes it a little harder on Zoom. But there will come a time, if we really focus on growing our affiliate, on growing our Anchorage chapter, and growing other areas of our state, where we can have, maybe I foresee a chapter in the Matsu Valley, a chapter in the Kenai area. It's a little harder because that area is so much more spread out, but nonetheless, so maybe it would be a phone chapter, a chapter in Juneau, and then having an at-large Zoom chapter where people meet together every month, and there are people from villages and small towns and coastal communities, people from Western Alaska or the interior. And we could have a Fairbanks chapter too again, because we did have one for many years. But again, that is going to take people trying to find people. It's going to take all of you, me, Kevin, everyone reaching out and saying, come and learn about the NFB. It is not the center, but it offers as much and even more in some respects, and in a different way. The center is important to Alaska. You know, the NFB has some centers, and I support those centers. But I have to say that I have noticed Alaskans do not like to leave Alaska. I mean, it is like, oh, no, I can't leave Alaska for 5 or 6 months. I can't even imagine. And so I've come to somewhat accept that and say, okay, then. If you can't leave Alaska, then you need to participate fully in the NFB within Alaska and make it really a successful organization here. So that's my soapbox. I just want to say a few words about my journey in the NFB. I will just say briefly that I fought joining this organization for a number of years because there was a rumor going around. I had a blind high school teacher, and his philosophy was that the NFB was this militant organization. You know, he didn't realize how important it was for blind people to change the attitude of the world about blindness and what blind people can do. And so though he taught in high school, he had a degree, and he was hired in my little rural high school of Blythe, California. he just was kind of, you know, I'm good. I don't need anybody, and just didn't set a good example for me. So I always thought for a long time that that was an organization I didn't need. I mean, after all, I went to a blind school, and that was really helpful to me, but it didn't provide me, but it didn't prepare me. Well, it prepared me to be an adult for myself. I was very able to do everything I needed to do. But not quite. There were some things I wasn't doing because I felt I couldn't do them as a blind person. So when I finally decided to join after some events in my life and after having a blind child, I realized that there was a lot I had been missing. And it's made a huge difference for me. The first convention that I went to, I was just in awe at how much I saw the leaders doing. And the discussions that they led, and we're talking about someone who had four kids. I thought I was just cool, and I realized just how uncool I really was, how much I had let myself miss by not taking part. And so I really urge you to take part, and I want you to know how much I've loved being president, the hard work it's been, the opportunity it's given me to grow. I feel like we had a very smooth running board, and I'm going to also obviously do a little more growing as I start learning to be the treasurer. the one thing I can tell you is your money will remain safe. Any money I collect, and it will get deposited one way or another. And I will do everything I can to become a good record keeper. Anyway, so thank you again for listening and for helping to make this convention successful by your presence, by your contributions. I think I'm going to close with that.
Thank you so much.